from the Maryland News Network, this is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome to High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark. He is Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, it's good to be back with you this week, and a lot of exciting things to talk about during the course of the next hour.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm always looking forward to it, and this is going to be a good show.
No doubt about that. All right, a lot to do. Let's start with what happened this past week, including a really good one, a huge rivalry game in Baltimore County between two schools that are separated by like 12 feet or something like that. These schools are not far apart. If people missed it, take us through what happened when Towson met Delaney this week.
Yeah, Towson Delaney, I mean, as you alluded to and you talked about, I mean, that's obviously one of the premier rivalries in Baltimore County, if not the premier rivalry. I mean, I know when people think about Towson Delaney, they probably think of lacrosse because that's sort of the big public school powerhouses traditionally. But it's always a big deal whenever they play in any sport. And this week they played in football. It ended up being another back and forth game that Towson came out on top with. 42-36. It was big for the Generals. First one over Delaney since 2014. And it was, as you can expect, really tight, really close late, and it was sort of sealed in the last couple seconds. 41 seconds to go. Eric Gaines made a big interception that sort of claimed it for Towson. And that was obviously a big play, but the story for me was the emergence sort of Nation Simmons, running back for Towson.
Okay.
He went off for 222 yards, 27 carries, and the other thing that's sort of crazy about him is that he's a sophomore. So he's just getting started. So he's still got a couple more years to go. And obviously Towson has a bit of a player in him. And it's sort of this win, captures this big start that Towson has had under new coach Ryan Petillo. They're now 2-1 under him, first year coach, and they have weirdly with this win now find themselves atop the 3A North standings, which is not easy to do. You have a lot of different powerhouses in there: Franklin, Milford Mill, Dundalk. You have a bunch of teams with a lot of pedigree in there, and at the moment Towson's on top of all of them. So we'll see if the Generals are going to be able to hold on to that and keep that going. It's not going to be easy at all. But that's definitely a program to keep an eye on going forward. The Generals are doing a lot of stuff on the football field, and it's looking good.
And if nothing else, it provides them major bragging rights
in
their backyard.
Absolutely.
That's the way that it works. All right, let's switch gears. Let's get away from football for a second. Let's give some love to volleyball. I know it was a big week down in Montgomery County.
Yeah. When you talk to different volleyball coaches, I feel like a lot of times you hear that they learn a lot about their teams in these early season tournaments.
Sure.
There's a lot of different games going on. You play four, five, six games if you keep winning. And it's also, for me, I think the best chance to recreate the atmosphere that you get in the state semifinals and state final rounds that are played at Ritchie Coliseum at University of Maryland. It's just a unique situation where that doesn't just happen often, you know, during a weekday volleyball game. So these tournaments are really a good opportunities for teams to see how they handle the pressure, the loud noises, the bright lights, everything, all these people in there, and sort of the contained chaos that happens in these gyms. Magruder hosted a tournament, and they ended up winning it. They went 6-0, defended their home turf, and they only dropped two sets throughout the entire day, which I think really speaks volumes to how well they were playing. They beat Blair in the semifinals, and then they were able to top Quince Orchard in the finals. That tournament performance sort of, when you combine it with the 3-1 start that they had already, I think makes it look like the Colonels are going to be a team to watch. And I know Scott Zani is a coach that's been there for a very long time, and he's had a lot of successful teams. This looks like it could have the build of another team that's along those lines.
Wow.
Quince Orchard is another group. Obviously, they made the finals, as I just said. They went 5-1, so the only game they lost was to Magruder, and they only dropped three sets throughout the day. So they lost two to Magruder, but then there was also just one other throughout the day. They were able to straight sweep Thomas Stone, Springbrook, Paint Branch. They got past Clarksburg in the semis. They weren't able to figure out Magruder, but another great performance from them. And then the all-tournament team was filled with a bunch of different players from different teams. Kalia Moss was voted as the MVP of the tournament from Magruder. She was joined by teammate Noel Waring. And then Quince Orchard had two players join it: Delaney Johnson, Elizabeth Cook, and then Clarksburg and Blair, Brianna Loki and Kat Rodriguez each joined that team, and it was rounded out by Shalini Gardner.
He's Wick Eisenberg. I'm Glenn Clark. We roll along High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it's right here on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back into High School Sports Line. I'm Glenn Clark. He's Wick Eisenberg. All right, Wick, let's put the spotlight on someone who did something really, really, really special this week. Not a name that you know anybody's going to know. It's not going to jump off the page at you. But Athelton High School, young man named Jake Peretti. Tell me about this young man and what he did this week that is unbelievably special.
Well, he put together, if you can't tell, an absolutely fantastic game all around. He had 101 yards returning punts and kicks. He had 16 tackles. And, oh, yeah, he also had 5 interceptions.
Wait, say that number again.
5.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, it has never happened before.
Wait, like he didn't throw 5 interceptions.
No.
He caught
5 interceptions, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty impressive stat. It's actually a state record. That's the most that's ever happened in a game. People have hit 4 a lot of times, or not a lot, but I'd say a handful of times. The most recent one that I can remember, last year, a young man at Blake, I believe his name was Ty Mason, got 4. So 4 was recently hit, but it's never gone more than that. He got 5 in this game against Oakland Mills, and Athelton needed every one of those interceptions. They won this game 17-14. You hear 5 interceptions, you think maybe
it might have been a blowout.
No, this was actually a very back and forth game. They trailed by two scores very early, and they had to fight their way back. And Jake Peretti was right in the middle of all of it. And what's kind of crazy about this is that not only he had 5 interceptions that counted, he actually had a 6th that got called back for a. I'm actually not sure exactly what the specific penalty was, but one of his teammates had a flag thrown on him, so they had to bring it back. So he actually had 6. And it's just wild. This has never happened before. He plays safety for Athelton, and he just had a tremendous game. Oakland Mills is a team that's known for being able to air it out and be successful through the air, but they were not able to figure out Jake Peretti today.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And you watch, Athelton did a great thing. They put out sort of a highlight film of this, I think, acknowledging just how amazing it was. It was like, geez, he had 5 interceptions. You could see all 5 of them. And I watched it, and you might think, maybe there was a bunch of them that were just sort of thrown to him. Yeah, just thrown to him. And no doubt there was one or two that were thrown there, but there was also a couple of just really nice grabs. The second one really stood out to me. I'm a big Baltimore Ravens fan, and it sort of reminded me, although it wasn't a one-handed catch, of the Eric Weddle catch from this past
weekend.
When
they played the Browns,
a little deflection, and you have to do a quick sort of reaction with your hands and get over there. And he was able to pull it down and run with it for a few yards. He had a big one. I believe it was his 4th. Sorry if I can't keep track. There were a lot of them.
Yeah.
I believe it was his 4th, and it was on sort of a fade route in the end zone, and he was able to run back there and leap up there and get it. And then the 5th one was just a huge one. I mean, the game was tied at this point late in the 4th, and he was able to jump around in the open field and just read it and got to it and ran it back. I don't have the exact yardage on it, but he was able to get it back a few yards, and that actually set up Athelton to win the game 17-14 on a kick. So this was something for him that was totally necessary in order to win the game, to get this great effort. And it's not the first time he's had a big game. The week before, he had an interception as well, but he also, like this week, had 2 interceptions and 1 got called back for a penalty. So maybe he needs to say something to his teammates to say, hey, stop picking up all these fouls.
Taking stuff off the board for me. I don't like that. Okay, so we know he has at least 6 interceptions this season. I would think that 6 interceptions already would put you in a pretty good spot as far as maybe pursuing like a season-long record. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, he's at 6 through 3 games, so he didn't get any in the opening in the opener for them. But the record, as I have found it to be, is 15. So he only needs 9 more. Now that's over 7 games. Actually, I believe Athelton only plays 6 more games. So they have.
So he needs to get 5 more in another game, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, So it's
easy.
Just another one. That should be easy to do. He's obviously very talented, and he's a great ball hawk. I'm a little that's just very tough to do, because obviously now with all this notoriety that's going to be coming around with this, it sort of got me to think about and I'm really going deep into the depths of my mind here. I don't know why I remember this, but NFL Network, I know, did something with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady a couple years ago, where it was a sort of a walkthrough, see how they go through a week of preparation or whatever. And the week actually happened to be in advancement of a Ravens game, and they had a little conversation in there about Ed Reed, and I remember Tom Brady talked about how when you play the Ravens and you walk up to the line of scrimmage, the first thing you do, you look for Ed Reed. Where is he? With these five interceptions and the coverage he's getting for this and just the fantastic game that he had, people are going to start really keying in on him. It's going to be like, okay, to start the week, offensive coordinators, head coaches are going to be sitting down with their quarterbacks and saying, okay, know where this guy is. You need to know where he is at all times because he is going to kill us if you don't know where he is. So that's going to play into it. And then also Athelton plays predominantly, if not, I don't have their schedule in front of me, if not exclusively, Howard County teams. Howard County is known for being a pretty run-heavy area. Yeah. A lot of running backs. They have a lot of good, talented runners there. So not a whole lot of throwing. Oakland Mills is probably the team that airs it out there the most. So that's probably the most attempts he's going to get to see throughout the year. We'll see. He's very, very talented. But to sit here and to say he's absolutely going to break this state record would be a bit of a stretch.
Sure. Glenn Clark, Wick Eisenberg with you on High School Sports Line here on the Maryland News Network. Wick, that being said, presumably you get five interceptions. There's a little bit more attention, not just being paid to you by the opponents, as you're alluding to. And when you're getting ready to face him, you say, hey, we might not want to throw the ball that way. But I would think it would garner you a little bit more attention from, say, I don't know, college coaches, from other people in the world. Is Jake Peretti on the radar? Is he a guy that's being looked at as a potential college player? What might be in the future for Peretti?
He's actually, from what I've been able to gather, looking to play lacrosse in college. That's sort of the primary option for him. That being said, five interceptions in one game, something could change a little bit. It's a unique situation. He actually he did not play last year. He took a year off from football, whether if it was to concentrate on lacrosse or school or just didn't feel like playing. I'm not entirely sure, but he didn't actually play last year. So it's a bit of a unique situation. It seems like he has a couple other loves and passions that he focuses on as well. Clearly a talented player. Possibly good enough to play in college. We'll see. But for now, it sounds like he's going to be leaning lacrosse. But if he continues to have more five interception games, college coaches might say, hey, you can do that in the spring, but how about in the fall you come out and play a little football?
And real quick, the Raiders off to a good start now at 2-1. It helps to have somebody that's a ball hawk like this in order getting off to such a start.
Yeah, absolutely. 2-1 this year for Athelton, and they're in the 3A East region, which for me is one of the more wide open regions. Obviously, it's still pretty early here, but every team in that region has picked up a win, and there's only one unbeaten team there, Longreach, who's probably going to be considered to be the top dog after a great year last year. But it's pretty wide open after that. It's a unique region because a lot of times with these regions, you get a lot of teams from the same county. There's really a blend in the 3A East. You have some Anne Arundel County teams like Northeast and Chesapeake. You also have some teams from the Eastern Shore, as well as some from Howard County. So we'll see. Athelton, I know, hasn't made the playoffs since 2012. They'd love to change that. Justin Carey's in his second year as head coach there, and clearly things are doing well, and I think for Athelton's sake, they hope people keep throwing the ball near Jake Peretti.
No doubt about that. We're going to check in some other teams in our next segment as we roll along. It's High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next right here on the Maryland News Network.
The latest edition of Press Box is available now. On the cover, Luke Jackson looks at the contrast in College Park as Maryland football coach DJ Durkin overhauls the Terps culture in his second season at the helm. Plus, Stan the Fan Charles makes suggestions on how to fix the Orioles' pitching rotation for 2018. Press Box is available for free at over 500 area locations, including 60 Royal Farm stores. You can also find the entire edition, as well as the best daily coverage of the Orioles, Ravens, and Terps at PressBoxOnline.com.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oh, I'd be a nervous wreck if my daughter just got her license.
You know, Liberty Mutual actually helped me relax a little bit.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, with roadside assistance, Liberty Mutual is there to make sure she won't get stranded. Don't know what I'd do without it.
Sounds better than the alternative.
Which is?
Keeping her home until she's 30.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back to High School Sports Line. I'm Glenn Clark with CountySportsZone.com's Wick Eisenberg. And Wick, we talked a little bit. We got to talk some volleyball. We talked some football. Good stuff so far. Let's stay now on the football trail, if we can, in this segment. And let's spread the love around throughout the state. Why don't we head out to Carroll County this time? And why don't you tell me about a team that's gotten off to a nice 3-0 start?
Yeah, Francis Scott Key is the team you're talking about. They have turned into one of sort of the great stories of this early football season. They are 3-0 this year, and this was a team that, sort of in their own coach, head coach Josh Rutter's words, I spoke with him last night, they were a bit of a homecoming team. You know, the teams would schedule them to play homecoming games because, you know, you were playing Francis Scott Key, you could probably pencil
get
in
that
a win.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time they've started 3-0 since 2003, I believe, which is actually, funnily enough, when Josh Rutter, their head coach, graduated from Francis Scott Key. So clearly they want to keep him around because he's been doing he's had a great hand in both of those. But anyway, they've gotten off to this great start. They were able to beat Northeast from Cecil County. They were able to beat Berkeley Springs, a West Virginia team. And then last week they won a kind of a crazy one with Patterson Mill, which we can get into. But it was a situation last year, first year head coach, and not a lot of seniors.
I feel like
on the
we've
team.
Used the term crazy one in Patterson Mill a couple of times.
Yeah,
already.
Patterson Mill, there's something in the water up there.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
They've had some crazy games so far. Maybe
so tell me a little bit about that one then.
So that one, I mean, it was the type of game where it was sort of back and forth, but initially to start with, it was advantage Patterson Mill, and in these two games prior that Francis Scott Key had played in, they had kind of blown out their opponents, which is a weird spot to be in. They were coming off a year where they were 1-9, most of the games were one-sided, and all of a sudden they'd blown out these two teams, and so they go into this Patterson Mill game facing a team that was 0-2 at the time, though it admittedly, as we had talked about, played some very close games that could have gone in their favor, and they were behind early, and they ended up going on this great drive right before halftime, and they go into halftime and they take the lead. I believe it was 13-7, and it's like, okay, great, we've got the momentum, and then immediately Francis Scott Key fumbles the kickoff, and so it's one of those things where it's like, oh geez, here we go again, and we're on the road, and we don't have all the fans on our side, and people are yelling and screaming. They were able to punch it in, the Huskies were, and so all of a sudden they're behind. However, Rutter says the team just kind of had this sort of steely resolve, and it was like it's a big moment for the team. They were able to bounce back and honestly able to run away with it at the end there and win by double digits. So it ended up being a really good moment for Francis Scott Key on the road. But you look at the history of this team and you would say this is kind of surprising. But if you look at sort of the makeup of it, it isn't entirely shocking. They had bringing back, they barely lost anything from last year's team. It was a very young group. They only graduated two or three seniors. 90% is what Rutter said on offense, and they were very close to the same on defense. And it's just the whole culture has changed. They've scored 20 touchdowns in the first three games. Last year, they didn't eclipse 30 points in a single game. They've done that in every single one so far. So the offense is clearly working. They run a wing T offense, so a lot of different running backs that they use, and they really spread it around. They have one thing that they have that sort of works against them: only 25 guys on the roster. Not a sheer amount of kids. There's not that many, but Rutter sort of was able to twist that and say, you know, this is actually kind of a good thing. Everybody gets involved. There's nobody slacking. Everybody has to pay attention, and so that sort of that sense of I guess needing to be ready at all times. plus just sort of a tight-knit culture that they have. They had a great offseason. He said the team has really gotten stronger, bigger, just faster. And it also helps that they have a returning All-Carroll County running back in Nate Iams, who's a sensational running back, just a guy you can hand the ball to and say, hey, go make a play for us. He's got 7 touchdowns now for them on 444 yards. And it's just it's great to have a guy that you can look to and say in a big moment, we're going to give the ball to you.
No question.
But it hasn't just been him. And that's something that has really been stressed by Rutter. And it's something that he really wants to be part of the story is that a lot of people have stepped up. Bobby Silves, another running back, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns. Corey Goodman, 109 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. They have 6 running backs. All of them have scored.
That's pretty balanced.
There's a lot of balance in there. And even, you know, we're sitting here talking about running games and stuff. The passing game has even gotten going a little bit, though. Admittedly, a lot of it's been running through Baylen Quisenberry. Wide receiver has 143 yards and 2 touchdowns, easily their top guy. But they do have a passing threat as well.
So what's the reality for Francis Scott Key now in Carroll County? Like, paint the picture. Okay, so they're off to this good start, playing non-conference games. Mm-hmm. It's a great story. But as they enter and out of this portion of the schedule, what becomes the reality for them?
Well, this is the big part of their schedule. And Rutter acknowledged that when I talked to him. And you might be wondering, why was I talking to him, by the way? This is going to be my story for PressBox this week.
A little plug
for myself there.
PressBoxOnline.com.
PressBoxOnline.com. Yeah, you can check out this story in a little more detail. But he was sort of talking about how this is going to be a big week for them, as well as they've done. They're the only undefeated team in Carroll County right now. If you hear, you know, he talked about how some of his kids have similar, you know, whether if it's going to, I don't know, a driver's ed class or going to the movies or seeing guys from other teams, and it's, yeah, you know, great start, but you haven't done it in Carroll County yet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they're at right now, and they certainly have a chance to change that this week. They face Century, and as I said beforehand, they were sort of known as a homecoming team before this start that they had. Last year, Century beat them 48-0. So this is, no really other way to put it. Yeah. This is a chance to maybe show, hey, we really have made a lot of progress. Now Century's not having their best start to their year. They're actually 0-3, so the roles have maybe reversed a little bit, but this is a team that made the playoffs last year, a really quality side. They have a good coach. For me, I don't think this is as easy on paper as it is a 3-0 team versus an 0-3 team. So we'll see what Francis Scott Key is able to do. I know Rutter is sort of viewing this as something that he's really excited about. Big opportunity for his team. They're getting a lot of publicity and attention. And something also that he's talking about that I think is worth noting that was really exciting for him, going back to this Patterson Mill game. It was on the road in Harford County. So obviously Carroll County to Harford County, not the closest.
Right.
A bit of a travel. And so he said before, you know, last year there were hardly people coming out for anything. It was just, you know, the team wasn't winning that much. It was kind of hard to get people to get excited. This 2-0 start they had, they ended up having roughly 250 people there.
Wow.
For away fans.
That's
to
cool.
come out for him. And so he said it was wild late in this game. You know, they're the away team and they hear a defense, you know, chant from the away section. So it's just exciting. It's a really good opportunity for Francis Scott Key here to really build on this excitement, to build on everything that's sort of surrounding them, and it's certainly one that I think is as big a game as they've had in their program in a long, long
time.
That's
awesome. All right, let's spread the love around a little bit. Let's head. You mentioned Harford County. Let's head to Harford County right
Absolutely.
Now. Let's talk a little soccer. As what a remarkable accomplishment for both the boys and girls at Bel Air High School.
Yeah, Bel Air. It sort of stood out to me that they were able to sweep Walter Johnson in the same day. The reason that sort of stands out is because Walter Johnson last year was sort of the powerhouse in soccer. They won both 4A championships. They swept both boys and girls. And actually, for Bel Air on the boys' side, it was a bit of a revenge game because Bel Air actually lost to Walter Johnson in the state final last year. So that plays into it as well. But the boys, looking at both these teams, Bel Air, the boys have had a little bit of a better start results-wise. They're 3-1. They've beaten Delaney, John Carroll, but the marquee win has to be Walter Johnson. You know, that, as I said, sort of a revenge factor there. Even though Walter Johnson's fallen off a little bit, that's still a great win. And a young man who's really had a big year for them is Connor Lorenz. He's been a starting striker for them. 3 goals, 2 assists, and it was a big that's big for them because they graduated a lot of seniors from last year's team. They only have 4 or 5 guys returning, and one of them that they lost, his name was Ryan Albright, who was huge for them in their run to states. So they needed to find a way to score goals. Connor Lorenz has definitely stepped up and announced himself as, I could be that guy. Another one is Vince Rose in the midfield, sort of pulls the strings. And I actually made the mistake. The And the head coach is Dominic Rose. And I said, your son, it's actually not his son, it's his cousin. So it's his cousin, Vince Rose.
Okay.
He's sort of been big for them in the midfield. He's a sort of a two-way player, capable of being strong in the tackle, but also creates moving forward. He's been very good for them. And they have a new goalie this year, Jake Fiacco, who has been terrific between the pipes and was able to hold the shutout against Walter Johnson with a couple of great saves.
Awesome.
So for me, the boys are off to a really good start there. On the girls' side, they've also had an encouraging start, a little bit up and down, which I think is understandable. It's the first year for head coach Joshua Ruggiero. He replaces Joshua Klemmer, who had a great season or had a great career there, and then left to go become an assistant principal at Falston. The team is 3-3, and they've beaten Walter Johnson and Sparrows Point, two state champions from last year.
Cool.
And then they also were able to beat Century. So they're 3-3 right now, but they've shown the capability of being able to top a big team, really talented teams, and those are two squads that I'm going to be keeping an eye on going
forward. That's awesome. Hey, this football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at countysportszone.com. When we come back in, let's make a trip down to the Bayside Conference, and we'll chat with Mike Bradley, the host of Overtime Live at sfmsports.net. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next right here on the Maryland News Network.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 23rd at Hagerstown City Park as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Hagerstown Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
The latest edition of PressBox is available now. On the cover, Luke Jackson looks at the contrast in College Park as Maryland football coach DJ Durkin overhauls the Terps culture in his second season at the helm. Plus, Stan the Fan Charles makes suggestions on how to fix the Orioles pitching rotation for 2018. PressBox is available for free at over 500 area locations, including 60 Royal Farm stores. You can also find the entire edition as well as the best daily coverage of the Orioles, Ravens, and Terps at PressBoxOnline.com.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back into High School Sports Line. I am Glenn. He is Wick Eisenberg. And now it's time, Wick, for us to make our trip down to the Bayside Conference. And it's always a pleasure to be joined by our buddy Mike Bradley, who is the host of Overtime Live on sfmsports.net. Mike, what's going on, sir?
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, looking forward to another week of football. It's hard to believe we're already almost halfway through a 10-week season for high school football.
It is remarkable. All right, let's get caught up. What were the big storylines from this past week in the Bayside Conference?
Well, I know that Wick's game of the week was Queen Anne's and Sussex Central, and in that game, Sussex Central came out the winner over Queen Anne's. As I mentioned, I think it was a game that certainly Queen Anne's was able to get a lot of experience in. But the question was going to be, how fast could they grow up? And, I think Sussex Central, again, skill-wise, had some better players, and they also won out a little bit on the line. Queen Anne's is still trying to find their offense. And so, they, you know, they came up short 27-14, but I think it's a game that's going to help them, you know, going forward into the rest of conference play and make them stronger. And I think that's a great non-conference matchup for them. So they lost that one. Maybe the other big headline was North Carolina blowing out Cambridge. And we know that Cambridge is a rebuilding team, and I know we'll talk about them coming up. But I don't think people expected it quite to be that kind of margin. But I think it just speaks to how good North Carolina is with two Division I guys on the team, one going to Notre Dame, one to Boston College, as we talked about last week. They just continue to be a really strong opponent. Kent Island has had a very weak schedule to start the year, so they're rolling. But, you know, it'll get tougher for them. We got some things sorted out in the bottom of the Bayside. Where Stephen Decatur got another win. They got a win over Washington. We saw Wicomico get another win, a 2-1 over Colonel Richardson. So the bottom of the Bayside's kind of starting to play out. Snow Hill, it was thought, might get their first win since October of 2014. They were down 20-0 against Arcadia, Virginia from the Eastern Shore. They came back and led 21-20 after the first quarter, but they ended up losing that game 36-27. Lost some other opportunities, but that's a program that is desperate for a win, but you got to give them a lot of credit. They're hanging in there and come to practice and play every week. And, you know, I think everybody's hoping they get a win or two this year.
Hey, Mike, it's Wick. So I know that you already touched a little bit on Cambridge, South Dorchester. I do want to go into them a little bit more. I mean, that's a team that the last few years, you can pretty much pencil them in as going to be a playoff team, 0-3 already. And I know that they're going up against Colonel Richardson this week. Are we looking at 0-4 here possibly? What's going on with Cambridge, South Dorchester?
You know, it is a better Colonel Richardson team, and this game might be closer than it was in years past, including last year. But I don't think that'll be the case. I'm going to give the nod to Cambridge. But you know, Cambridge has had a very tough start to their schedule, playing teams like Queen Anne's, North Carolina, and in between those two, Woodbridge out of Delaware's Henlopen Conference. So it's a combination of a really tough start to the schedule and then graduating 16 starters from last year. Head coach Jake Coleman is probably one of the tougher starts of the year that he's had. In fact, they have not been 0-3 in 13 years. So and I'm not even sure he was coaching 13 years ago for that. I don't think he was. He might have been an assistant. But it's certainly not reflective usually of what, you know, Cambridge football is, which is usually a winner year in and year out. I think you'll see them start to turn the table and win a lot of games against the 1-18s that they'll start playing. But I think the thing is you hope that they kind of make some progress against some of the tougher teams and they learn, but they've had a lot of mistakes and a lot of issues that they're going to have to continue to clean up. But I do see them just going on the past and having a returning quarterback, a three-year starter. I do think you'll start to see them turn around and you know, get some wins in that column. And I do think they'll beat Colonel Richardson this week.
And another game that I'm going to be looking at as well is Kent Island. I know takes on Stephen Decatur, and that's going to be a good one, I think. Your thoughts, general opinion, what do you think is going to be going on in that game?
Well, I think Decatur's improved this year. They're certainly come a long way from last year, which they only won one game. They've already doubled that with their win last week. I still think that's a program rebuilding. Kent Island's one of the best in the conference, but it will be a good tail of the tape, I think, for Decatur to see how they hold up against one of the top teams in the Bayside. They are a 3A school. Kent Island is a 2A school. But I think Kent Island just has too much all the way around. They've got some pretty good line play. They've got a really good quarterback transferred in who can throw the football. They're probably the most balanced offense they've had in a long time. And they actually have some pretty good skilled players too. So I do see Kent Island winning that game, but it's always tough. That's a long road trip for Kent Island, but I do see them coming out on top. But it will be interesting to see how Decatur responds in that game.
He is Mike Bradley. He is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line. Mike, if you could, can you take us through some of the other big games or some of the other games that are going on this weekend that people should be aware of?
Well, when you take a look, I mean, we highlighted a couple of those big games there. I don't actually have the schedule in front of me right now and then, but the one that we're doing, the Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, will be North Carolina at Queen Anne's.
Yeah.
And that'll be an excellent game as you know, Queen Anne's and North Carolina are top three teams in the conference. I just think North Carolina's a little bit above Queen Anne's in this one. I think that, again, with the players that they have going to some big-time colleges, I think that they've got more experience. I think that their line play is better, and they've got a returning quarterback with experience who has really stepped up his game in the passing game this year. So I like North Carolina. That said, though, Queen Anne's is always a tough team. It's not an easy win. They're playing that game at home. So I don't see North Carolina rolling over them, but I think that at the end, North Carolina still should probably win by a couple touchdowns. But that is definitely the big game of the week.
Mike, are you sensing that you know, you keep mentioning these kids that are headed to D1 schools, and not just D1 schools, but massive programs, obviously. Are you sensing a level of attention that's being paid to that? Like, are you sensing that the opponents are getting up a little bit more for that, knowing where these kids are headed?
I'm certainly sure they are. I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, when you're playing against those kind of guys that you know that you're going to be in the spotlight a little bit more because you've got guys watching them, and certainly, hey, you want to be the guy that made a play,
right,
you know, against one of those guys, no doubt about it. I think that any time, though, you play against a Caroline, you're going to get up for them because they've been one of the top teams for the last several years in the conference, and they've kind of risen their game to the next level. I don't think there's any question about that. I think there's just a little added bonus there with those guys on the team. But, you know, this year, I think that, you know, with Caroline, they're going to want to max out, you know, the talent that they have. You know, I think anything less than playoffs is certainly a major disappointment, but I think they'd like to go pretty far with the guys that they have, because those kind of guys don't come around often. Who knows the next time they'll have a D1 athlete there. It could be 10 years from now.
Sure, sure. No question about that. I think what you're alluding to is that oftentimes that you feel as though when somebody else is watching them, it's an opportunity for you to be seen as well, right? Like, this could end up being your opportunity as a player to get on someone else's radar.
Sure, sure. Yeah. No doubt about that. Yeah, even if it's not the D1 level, it could be D1, 2A, D2, or D3.
Yep.
There's still some excellent football in those divisions.
No doubt about that. All right, so it's going to be a big week, obviously, for Overtime Live. Mike, for anybody that doesn't know about the show and what it is that you're doing each and every week, can you run down for everybody what they should expect from Overtime Live?
Yeah, we talk to the coaches after each game. And we analyze the games, give the scores, talk to the coaches, and I blog throughout the week with a power poll, my picks, also a What We Learned segment, which you can find via sfmsports.net. Our game of the week is locally on the shore of 94.3 Winx FM, streaming at sfmsports.net. So we've got our game of the week, which will be at 7 o'clock at Queen Anne's, pregame at 6:45. And then after the game's over, I'll take over for the remaining hour or so until 10:30 with, again, analysis, scores, and coaches.
No doubt about that. It is it's great for any high school football fan of the Bayside Conference, anybody down the Eastern Shore. It is a tremendous asset. Mike Bradley, always appreciate you taking the time for us, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, guys.
He is Mike Bradley. He is, of course, the host of Overtime Live at sfmsports.net. We still have a lot to do before we wrap up for the week. A reminder that County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game, every night, varsity, junior varsity, freshmen. Never miss the score with County Sports Zone, and it's the exclusive home of One Wick Eisenberg, so you can't do any better than that, again, at County Sports Zone, countysportszone.com. When we come back in, we will get you set up. There's a bunch of games coming up this week that Wick Eisenberg tells me are cannot miss, so we're going to explain them to you a little bit more in our final segment. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next right here on the Maryland News Network.
Most mobile providers just want you to do one thing: sign their contract. But at Simple Mobile, we just want you to shred their contract. Our 30-day unlimited plan starts at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated, or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard.
I think it's quite masculine.
My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 23rd at the Ocean City Boardwalk and Caroline Street as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, away, you are not alone. Get details on the Ocean City Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
If you like to work as hard as you play, then this sound is music to your ears. Right now at the Can-Am Yellow Tag Sales Event, you can save on select 2017 Can-Am ATVs to the tune of up to $800. Get great deals on hard-working ATVs today. Visit your local Can-Am dealer for the Yellow Tag Sales Event. Offer ends soon. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here for our final segment. This is High School Sports Line. Glenn Clark alongside Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. All right, Wick, so we've talked about what's happened. Now let's talk about what's happening, and let's preview what's coming up this week. Five big games in public school football this week that you have already highlighted at CountySportsZone.com, but let's run through them, and let's start. How about we start in Calvert County, and you tell me a little bit about what's going on with Choptank and Northern.
Yeah, Choptank and Northern for me really stands out as a game to watch this week because both teams are 3-0. So obviously somebody's going to be coming out of here with their first loss of the season. But also these are teams that both sit in the 3A South region and they're the last undefeated teams there. So whoever wins this is really going to be in the driver's seat going forward in terms of being able to control their own destiny and making the state playoffs. We'll start here with Choptank. A.J. Hunt, he missed the first game, their quarterback, but ever since coming back for game two, he's been sensational. He's thrown four touchdowns. He's rushed for one, and he's only thrown one interception, so they've been getting a lot of good quarterback play out of him. And then Vontae Hoffert has been their sort of go-to playmaker. 490 all-purpose yards for him and five touchdowns already, so obviously he's sort of a go-to player for them. They've already been able to beat Oxon Hill, La Plata, and Thomas Stone, though the Northern is definitely going to be their, I would say, their toughest test so far. It's a new coaching regime there under Steve Krauts, and it's definitely he's a high-profile coach. There's no way around it. He was able to win a state championship with Patuxent a couple years ago. He's now decided to move over to Northern, and the team has just simply had a bright start with him. 116-36 is what they've outscored their first three players. Yeah.
Wow.
They haven't been really that tested yet, and that includes a win over his previous team, Patuxent. So I think a lot of what comes down to it is also with Northern is their quarterback, who funnily enough happens to be the head coach's son, Reese. He has 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Pretty good numbers.
Pretty good numbers.
Sounds like Joe Flacco in the playoffs
a couple
years ago.
Absolutely. Channeling playoff Joe. But he's got lots of targets to work with. Xavier Harris is a player that you're really going to want to keep an eye on. Really explosive guy. Caron Stevenson has been great. And then Canlin Schleppe. Canlin Schleppe. What a great name.
Yes.
But then he's also been able...
Say it 10 times fast right now.
I will definitely not try to do that because I cannot. But then we've got Seth Cranford on defense. He's also been great for them. He leads the team with 48 tackles. So I think this really has the chance to be a high scoring affair. Really big
shootout.
Big offenses. For me, I think this could really be an exciting game to watch, and it could easily be one that next week we're sitting here saying, you know, Northern and Choptank, it lived up to its billing. So I think that's going to be a good one to watch.
That's Friday night, 7 o'clock at Northern. Let's head next to PG County, and Parkdale's taking on Duval.
Yeah, Parkdale for me is a little bit like Francis Scott Key, one of the surprise packages of the season so far. They're 2-1, and they're coming off two seasons where they'd only won one game each year. So they've already equaled their last 2 years. And the key for Parkdale so far has been the defense. They've been able to limit opponents to under 11 points a game. They've really been able to stuff them, and Bryce Tekken has really been in the middle of that. 26 tackles leads that team. But they've been able to get a lot from the offense as well. Zaya Jones has all-purpose yards. He has 275. Raymond Jenkins has tossed 215 yards from the quarterback position. And then you also have Reese Thompson, who has scored four times. So Parkdale, for me, this is really a big test for them. They've lost once this year, but they've already picked up two wins. Can they do it against a consistent Prince George's County powerhouse in Duval? That's what they are. That's what the Tigers are now. They've made the last five playoffs. They're 2-1 this year. They beat Northwestern and Urbana out of Frederick County. And it's a heavy. It's pretty simple when you look at what Duvall likes to do. It is a heavy dose of David Dupree, senior running back. That guy gets the ball a ton. 445 yards on 67 attempts. He has 6 touchdowns this year.
Pretty good numbers.
Pretty good numbers. So we're gonna see what David Dupree can do against the Parkdale defense. I think that's gonna be the key to that game. And it's a really big moment. I mean, not to sort of focus on Parkdale here. If they win this game, that will turn a lot of heads and get a lot of people looking at them in Prince George's County, which is sort of one of the hotbeds in the area. So is Parkdale going to join sort of the elite group there, or sort of announce that they're on the rise? This is a big chance for them to do it.
Very good. That's Saturday at 2 o'clock at Duval. I'm Glenn Clark. He's Wick Eisenberg. This is High School Sports Line. Let's continue our games to watch this weekend. And let's head back to Carroll County. We were talking about FSK earlier, but a big one for Manchester Valley and Westminster.
Yeah, obviously Francis Scott Key has been sort of one of the big storylines in Carroll County, but Manchester Valley and Westminster have also had nice starts to their year as well. Starting with Manchester Valley, they're actually looking for their third straight win here, which would be a big accomplishment for them here early on. And for them, it's all about defense. Once again, they've only been allowing 6 points per game. They've thrown their first shutout already. They did it in week 2 against North Hagerstown. And it's a group where it is simply just see if we can hit double digits with the offense, and we're going to be in pretty good shape. They are really nasty on defense up there in Manchester Valley. And when you talk to head coach Tony Schirmeyer, which I did a little bit earlier this week, he talked about, you know, it really is coming from all over, all different places. So many different players have made plays. Adam Melville, though, has really been the key. He leads in tackles. He has 4 interceptions this year. So that's going to be a guy that Westminster is going to have to sort of keep an eye on and make sure that he doesn't hurt them too much. So if that's it from sort of the Manchester Valley perspective on Westminster. They're looking to avoid a losing streak. They're 2-1 as well, but they lost last week to Linganore. And they've topped Urbana and South Hagerstown so far. But the problem with them, they've already been hit a little bit by the injury bug here.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't like to see this early on, and I know it's something that head coach Matt Studdy was definitely hoping to avoid this early. But top running back Jaden Lewis, he missed the Linganore game, which definitely hurt them, and Linganore was sort of...
Yeah, that was going to be tough anyway.
Yeah, going to be tough anyway. Anytime, and Linganore's undefeated this year, and there's no shame in that loss at all, and not having Lewis definitely hurt it as well. They also, one of their wide receivers, Logan Knave, one of their top guys, also went down in that game, wasn't able to play that much. So that's another one where how healthy are some of their key guys going to be? Talking to Study, he did expect to have Lewis return this week, so that would be good. We'll see how it is come game time. But if he is able to come back, they'll certainly be happy to have him. 5.7 yards per rushing attempt. They would love to have him back in the fold. Navy seemed a little bit more cagey on, so we'll see on him. But there's also Navy is sort of a part of this wide receiver group that they have that's really talented. Zane Lewis is sort of the headliner on it. He already has 193 yards receiving. Roman Hawkins as well is another one, 131 yards receiving, and both have scored 2 touchdowns. So it's sort of... Westminster has a lot of different playmakers, a lot of different pieces, guys that they can give the ball to go, you know, go make a play. Manchester Valley likes to stuff people, so we'll see which wins out. We will see. It's going to be a big moment for either of these teams.
Well, that game is Friday night, 7 o'clock at Westminster. Now let's go back to Harford County and undefeated Haverty Grace traveling to Aberdeen. We talk about Towson Delaney in our first segment being the big Baltimore County rivalry. Aberdeen Haverty Grace. When you talk in Harford County, these teams again. Separated by mere feet.
Yeah, it's a
huge rivalry.
Yeah, this is a huge rivalry, and there's no way around it. Both teams always get very excited to play each other. Starting with Haverty Grace, for me, they're 3-0, and they've had just been in a great run here. They've made the 1A state finals the last 2 years. They haven't been able to solve Fort Hill.
Who has?
Yeah, nobody has been able to solve Fort Hill, but Haverty Grace has given them good games both times. And for me, the start to this year sort of shows that Haverty Grace is once again a team at the 1A level that you're going to have to keep an eye on. They have outscored their opponents 129-6.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And in there's been 2 shutouts. And so obviously the defense is sort of the headliner there for me, even though they've been able to score points freely. That defense, you don't see that very often. That group is sort of headlined by linebacker Sean Greeley, who's going to be a college player somewhere. He's being looked at by a bunch of different programs. He was able to lead the UCBAC last year, the Haverty Grace's league, in tackles. He's expected to be able to do something along those lines again. He's off to a great start. Defensive tackle Reggie Marks has also been a great story. This is only his second year of playing football, but he's somehow also a college prospect.
Wow.
So he's going to end up being a big player for them. I know he's been able to stop the run really well. And you talk about their offense and their way to score points. Havertah Grace has, for me, a real weapon that not a lot of teams at high school can really say that they have, which is a kicker. They have a really good kicker, Clay Harris, who was All-State last year. This is about as good a kicker as you can find in the state of Maryland right now. He's ranked 31st on cornbluekicking.com, which is kind of like a tool that college programs use to evaluate kickers, see who they should be recruiting. So they have a real blue chip kicker, and it's a real weapon for them. It's kind of like having Justin Tucker. It's a little different compared to having Justin Tucker versus some average kicker who can boot them. He just great range, great kicker. Clay Harris is somebody you're going to want to keep an eye on. But for how well Havertah Grace has done these last couple of years, Aberdeen's been sort of their bogey team. They've been the team that's been able to beat them. The last 2 years, they've beaten Havertah Grace, and they honestly haven't been close. It's been 62-22, the combined scores.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it's been all Aberdeen in this rivalry. Now, they're currently 2-1. They were able to beat Thomas Johnson in Northeast from Anne Arundel County, so they're having a solid start to their year. Johnny Brooks is as consistent and as solid a coach as you can find in the area. I feel like he always has Aberdeen ready to play. And they have a couple of really nice players this year. Senior running back and linebacker Joshua Maxwell was a player they were really banking on to come good for him. And he's been excellent. He's answered the bell. 705 yards rushing so far, 9 touchdowns. A lot of Joshua Maxwell. And then they also have a new player that you're going to want to keep an eye on. Freshman Jaheim Wilson-Jones, and I hope I'm getting that right, has been explosive this year on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles. 3 interceptions. It's not a bad start to your high school. Wow. Not a bad start to your
high school
career. So it's a grudge match. It's a rivalry, whatever sort of, descriptions you want to use for it. And it's a game that I think Havertah Grace would really love to get this one.
Real quick, one more, and that is in Baltimore City. Mervo is at Dunbar.
Yeah, Mervo Dunbar. If you had told people that this was going to be a big game beforehand because of how the teams had started, everyone would have believed you. These are two teams everyone was expecting to be top dogs in the area. Mervo is coming off of a fantastic year where they went 8-2 and they were able to beat Sherwood in the state playoffs. That was their first playoff win since 2000, so a big moment for Pat Nixon and the Mustangs over there. And then to start the year, they're 3-0. They've beaten Delaney and Poly are a couple of their big ones. And then Dunbar. Dunbar is a program everybody knows, has tons of history.
No doubt.
A lot of talented players. But they've had kind of a bad habit lately of starting slow. They lost their first two games last year, one of which was to Mervo. This year, they repeated it in terms of losing their opener. They lost to Allegheny, but they've been able to bounce back and beat Potomac and City. Whoever comes out on the top here is probably looking to be the go-to team in Baltimore City.
Very good. Those are your 5 games to watch. By the way, Dunbar hosts Mervo Saturday at 1. Aberdeen hosts Havertah Grace Friday at 7. Wick Eisenberg, great work as always, pal.
Appreciate great show. I had a blast.
Don't forget, you can listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio On Demand. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.